You know, when we think about habits, imagine you think about one habit that can help you get healthier, maybe a habit of eliminating sugar from your diet, or one habit that can make a difference in your finances, like a habit of not using a credit card. But here's a question. What's one habit that you could develop in your marriage that could save a marriage or make your marriage more intimate or closer? I want you to hang in there with me because in today's show, you're going to hear not only one, but several habits of people that they put into their marriage that make a difference. And we'd like to hear yours as well. You can share it at our comment line at 888-888-1717 as we dip into the archives of intentional living for today's show. We're talking about love habits, you know, those habits that we have in our marriage that build intimacy and closeness. One of the core principles of intentional living is developing better habits. You know, we live in the moments, and the research shows that about 47% of what we do is related to the habits that we have. And so today, hopefully, we can build some better habits for our marriage. Let's get started. A few weeks ago, Kim opened our program, and her marriage sounded like it was close to being on the brink. But I want you to just take a listen to the beginning of her call once again.
Hi, Randy, and this is Kim. I'm from Texas, and I listen to your show all the time, and I've had a tremendous amount of marital problems. My husband and I, we argue a lot. We have almost went to the divorce state, and I just don't know what to do.
And you know, if that was the end of Kim's story, we'd be discouraged and we'd know that intentional living doesn't work, but it does. It can make a difference. We've seen it, and you're going to hear some testimony of that today. In fact, that's not the end of Kim's story. This is.
I have been doing the 30-day challenge, had some marriage issues, and started just thinking that I needed to start working on myself. That was what my prayer time was, and I started working on things I could do for my marriage, one of them being hugging my husband because I'm not a very affectionate person. Second one was to start complimenting him more. And then, of course, the last one would be to look at him when he's talking to me and put down my phone. The result of all of that challenge is that he has responded amazingly and now wants to hug me, compliments me, and now he does the same for me on most of these things and just does a lot of things just randomly for me. So it has worked tremendously on our marriage. So I just want to thank you for everything you do, and I greatly appreciate it, and I encourage everyone to do the 30-day challenge.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. Listen, think about it. If for the next 30 days, like Kim, you were to do one thing different in your marriage, just one thing, what would it be, and what difference would it make or has made in your marriage? I think this is such a powerful message from intentional living. I'm surprised it's not taught more often. About what's one thing, just one. We go to conferences, and I've been guilty of this over the years of teaching or writing, and we come with a long laundry list of things you got to do to have your marriage work. And usually those things are good things. But the reality is we take the stuff back, we put it on the shelf, and we don't do anything. We fall back in the old pattern because we get discouraged. We don't feel like we can do everything we're supposed to be doing to be the perfect Christian in our marriage. And I'm challenging you to just simply say, what's one thing, what's a love habit, one love habit that I could develop in my marriage for the next 30 days that would make me feel better and hopefully make our marriage better? And we got stories to show that it works. So we'd love to hear your story as well on our comment line, 888-888-1717. Jessica's up first from Michigan. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. What one thing or what love habits have made a difference in your marriage?
Well, it took me 10 years to learn. My husband and I are getting ready to celebrate 10 years of marriage, and we got married really young. I was 19 and he was 20. We were going through a time where, you know, it seemed like so many things were going really great in our marriage. You know, there weren't really any problems. But my husband was going through a lot of stress at work and just really frustrating situations. And he was, you know, really taking that out on me and, you know, just our family and stuff like that. And there was one morning that he left and he was just, I think, dreading having to go right back into what he knew he was going into. and just really hurtful and just not kind, not loving to me. And he left, and when he left, I pray every morning for him when he leaves. And I remember praying to God and just asking him, you know, how am I supposed to love him? Like, he is being so rude and so kind, and it's not me, and, you know, kind of all of that. And I remembered something that our pastor told us in our premarital counseling. In an instant, he just put on my heart, you know, you have to love him like Jesus loves him sometimes, and not like the human flesh and blood, you love him. And I just thought about that a lot. Like, what if I loved him like Jesus loves him? You know, what if I loved him even when he sins, even when he's angry, even when he's hurtful, especially when I know that it's not about me and it's about something else he's going through. And so I just did that. I started to be kind when he wasn't kind. And when I realized it wasn't about me, and it really opened up a lot of conversation, and it helped him to see his own sin in anger, because we're all going to be angry, but, you know, we're first certainly told not to sin out of that anger. And I just constantly told him I was praying for him when I really was, and praying for his peace, and praying for these problems at work. And it just made such a huge difference for us. It really has. He's just so much more kind to me in those moments. I can see it.
Yeah. So what I understand, Jessica, is when he would get angry, you'd get angry, but you decided not to do that any longer. You took a different approach. And did that kind of throw him off? Like, who is this woman now? Who's this woman I'm married to? What's going on?
Yeah, where I would just, like, shut down because he's just being so angry, and I would just be like, okay, whatever. You know, you want to be angry. It's not even my problem. It's not even me. And I would just start to be really kind to him and ask him, okay, so what are you thinking? What do you, that's really frustrating, or whatever I could say that would kind of try and get him to talk a little bit more, and it made a huge difference.
Yeah, how's your marriage today?
Oh, wonderful. We really do. We have, you know, just a really, really deep love for each other.
That's fantastic. Listen, this stuff works. This intentional living material that we teach, this is God's idea. I mean, we're intentional living, but God is the intentional God, and he just illustrates over and over, day after day, the people we talk to, like Jessica, who are saying, I'm doing the next right one thing. I'm choosing to be intentional. It's not about perfection. It's not about always being right, or it's about being the right person. And whatever the issue is, today we're talking about marriage, but you know, these one thing principles or these habit things that we talk about work in other areas of your life. Maybe you've got relationship problems at work. Think about what one thing would make a difference, a new habit that you could introduce in the workplace for yourself for the next 30 days that would make a difference. Or maybe it has to do with your health. Come on now, we know what that means. What's one thing for 30 days, not 50 things? You know, those of us who, we run hot and cold. You know, when we run hot, we got to do everything. And then we get cold because we get discouraged. But if you just kind of very systematically every day doing the next right one thing, you want to grow spiritually, what's one thing that's going to help that? It's not going to happen by osmosis. You don't wake up one day and say, wow, look how much I've grown spiritually. You grow spiritually through your prayer life, through your reading, through your meditation, through what you fill your mind and heart with. It's a daily decision. And what we're hearing, and Jessica just told us, she just said, hey, I'm not going to respond in kind. And her whole marriage has been radically changed. Now, does that mean every time you change, everybody around you is going to change? Not necessarily. But there's something that happens inside of us when we make that decision. Okay, thank you, Jessica. I'll be back. We've got Kay and Julie standing by, and others as well, as we're talking about the love habits that can make a difference in your marriage. Don't go away.
Right now is the perfect time to book your summer cruise, because the cabins on the Intentional Living Alaska Cruise are going fast. Book yours today at theintentionallife.com. Get away and grow closer to God in Alaska. Enjoy your very own cabin on board a Holland America first-class cruise ship, and be encouraged with insight from Dr. Randy Carlson, host of Intentional Living.
There's so much wisdom to be learned and gained with Intentional Living, and that's what it is.
We have been blessed to be married 34 years, and we really think that it's time for just a little refresher.
You'll also join in worship with special guest Mike Weaver of Big Daddy Weave. But God, Book today with only a down payment and no cancellation fees through March 8th.
Receive a special discount when you book online.
The Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska, June 12th through the 19th.
Go to theintentionallife.com.
You know, one of the things that I think is really cool about the cruises that we lead is that it's a group of people where we're together. We have dinner together. We have times of worship and praise and teaching together. We get an opportunity to meet other people of like mind and heart. And yet it's not one of these overpowering cruises where you have hundreds or thousands of people that, you know, you never get to meet. And so this is an opportunity to really connect with other people. And coming June 12th through 19th, breathing the fresh air of Alaska is going to be exciting. As you heard the announcer say, Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver, is going to be leading us in worship and praise. I've asked him if he and his wife would do a session, teach together. I'm going to be teaching. I get the chance to meet my wife, Donna, and then Evan and Kelly Carlson. Evan is the president of the ministry. He's going to be there. He'll be doing some teaching as well. But mostly, this is going to be for you, for your family, for those that come with you, to just to celebrate life and do something fun that maybe will help you grow spiritually as well. If you don't have your cabin, this is the time you must reserve it. So I encourage you today to go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and get that cabin reserved for you and your spouse or the friends that are coming or your family. Again, June 12th through 19th, our cruise to Alaska from Intentional Living, where we're going to be worshiping together, praising God together, learning together, touring together, and just having a great celebration in Alaska. So again, go to theintentionallife.com and get that cabin reserved today.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
We started with Kim, who from Texas said we were on the brink in our marriage. They backed away, and Kim decided to develop some love habits. She took two or three things and said, these are the things I'm going to do for a 30-day challenge, and that was the beginning of a transformation in her marriage. And we've been asking, what's one thing that has made a difference to you, a love habit? So let's go to Kay in Michigan, who wants to join in as well. Kay, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Go right ahead. What are you doing? What's the love habits in your marriage?
My husband would get frustrated and vent when he was angry. And in the beginning of our marriage, it would let that, you know, upset me, and it would escalate to arguments. But after a while, I started just being still and being quiet and not letting his frustration and anger work me up, and it made a big difference in our marriage.
Interesting. Similar to what Kim was saying. In other words, you chose to not respond in kind to what he would do. And what happened when you started to do that in your marriage?
Well, he would apologize afterwards, and then we were able to talk about it. So it was more of a, you know, calm talking rather than, it just changed our communication, and it just made a big difference.
And about how long have you been doing this in your marriage now?
Well, we've only been married for 10 years, so like 8 years now. So it's like we're adults.
You're all grown up now, right?
Yeah.
You know, listen, we talk about the first 7 years of marriage statistically are the most difficult, and most marriages that end in divorce, not all obviously, but most that do tend to in the first 7 years, because you can't get through some of these battle points. And what you decided to do is say, hey, this isn't working. We're past the honeymoon now. We're a couple years into the marriage, and you decided to be a little more quiet and silent and let him kind of stew in his frustration. And he woke up he probably heard himself thinking, hey, I don't have anybody to argue with anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. And so how would you characterize your marriage today, Kay?
We both have just learned how to communicate rather than fight. And it's the biggest thing is it's a peaceful home for our children, and setting a better example. As soon as, even now, he still will get upset, but even now when he does, it's like I'm just quicker to recognize it, and it's a more peaceful home environment, and we're able to, it's just a better marriage all around. Gets upset and says things that push my buttons or make me feel like I want to stand up for my rights. It's like, nope, now is not the time. He's too upset. We'll wait till things are calm.
That's good. Good principle. Hey, listen, life is filled with these little habits that make a difference, and marriages that work the habits and make them work in their marriage. Okay. Thank you, Kay. Appreciate it. Let me get Julie on the line in New Mexico. Julie, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Appreciate it. What have you learned about the right love habits?
Well, my husband and I was 40 when we got married for the first time for both of us, and he was 37. And I don't remember exactly how far into the marriage, but probably close to 10 years. For some reason, one day, it just hit me that I had not given my husband headship. And what I mean by headship is that I've always been the one to take care of the finances in our home. It's not that it was better serving us as a couple for me to just do the work of the finances. But I wasn't even kind of including him for a while. But once I realized that he needed headship, And what that really looks like is that with the finances, I would go to him and say, okay, this is what we have coming up. This is what I would like to do. And then get his input on where that money was going, when it was going. And sometimes if there was a larger purchase, I would get his input. Of course, we never spend more than, you know, a few $100 or $100 without talking to each other. But once I let him have what I call the right of refusal to say not right now for that purchase, and so I'm not always okay with it, but yet letting him have the leadership role in that, it always turned out for the better. And when I let go and let him, and then we also respect showing regardless of where he is, showing respect. And it's really about my relationship with God more than anything. Probably the other one is two things, really. Thanking. Our husbands cannot be thanked enough for the sacrifices they make every single day to provide for their family. And we never had children, but still, he's a hard worker, and I really try to never miss an opportunity to say thank you and to say you are doing such a great job, or to genuinely compliment how much he's grown or where he's how far he's come.
That's good. Listen, those are the things that make a difference, Julie. I think you tapped into the essence of men and some of the things you've said there. Men really thrive with that feeling of respect. They're feeling it's a respect thing. That's the way men are wired. And when our wives show that kind of respect in words and deed, and honestly, it makes a big difference. And at the same time, we know that women need respect and love as well. So it cuts both ways. And when that happens, when we have a marriage that's filled with love and respect and affection and honest communication, I don't know how you can go wrong with that. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. But if we were just to simply say, I want to add love, respect, good communication to my marriage, and we practice those things, just like you heard Julie introduce into her marriage, it'll revolutionize your relationship. It really will. That's intentional living. Julie, thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We'll be back. Roosevelt wants to join in from Georgia, and we'll get to his call in a moment. And some other things for you before we wrap up today's Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
If we don't keep Scripture at the center of what we do, we've missed the point. We need to be reading, studying, meditating, and sharing Scripture. It is essential to our growth in our life in Christ. Anything other than that may be good, but we're only half lit.
You know, I'm talking this month about the power of the miles and the moments of life. And we live in the moments, but we want to look to the miles as well. And the Scripture says, I'm referencing that passage in Psalm 119 that says, His word, thy word, is a lamp right to my immediate feet and a light to my path, just a little bit further down. And it's a very encouraging lesson this month for our members. I think you'll find it very helpful for you and for those that you love and care for. And can I just ask you to pray about coming and joining us on the Intentional Living support community with your monthly support? What I'd like to do today is to send you that teaching. It'll come to you in the next few days, right to your email, The Miles and Moments of Life, an Intentional Living message. Plus, we're making available to those of you who are either increasing your monthly support or joining us in monthly support with at least 15 a month or more, and we're encouraging you for a dollar a day to pray about that. I want to send you a copy of my book, Starve for Affection, Why Affection is So Important, Why We Crave It, and the Difference It'll Make in Your Marriage and Your Relationships. So you're going to be receiving the Starve for Affection book and the teaching this month, plus ongoing teaching each and every month as you join us in monthly support. Please go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and thank you for standing with us. You know, this one love habit can change your marriage. In fact, I believe it will change your marriage. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Minute, and this one thing is forgiveness. You know, I like to tell people that forgiveness is like a dance. There are times that we're going to hurt each other unintentionally in marriage, but it happens, things that we say, things that we do, and then we have to ask for forgiveness. And Christ is a beautiful model of sacrifice of forgiveness, because it is a sacrifice. You're giving up your right to cling to feeling bad and holding them accountable. So can I give you a one thing challenge, maybe for these next 30 days, that you would extend forgiveness because of God's intentional love for you? When you think about all that God has done for you, His forgiveness, His love, His care, His concern, to extend that forgiveness is an intentional act of love. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
You know, we're talking about marriage, pulling back from the brink, and you don't know where to begin because your marriage, you feel like you're on the brink. You feel like you're really stuck maybe, and you just don't know where to go. Can I challenge you as you hear the calls today to think about what's one new love habit you can introduce into your marriage for the next 30 days that would make a difference? That's really where we started with the program today. And we've got Roosevelt on the line here from Georgia, who I think has a whole pile of one things. We'll see if we get a few of them for you. Roosevelt, welcome to the program.
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. What have you learned about love habits in marriage?
I have been with my wife for September 21st, be 43 years. Mm. And I'm 61, but back about over 20 years ago or so, we was living in the same household, yet I was living in one room for 5 years and she stayed in the other room.
Mm.
And I prayed about it, and what I did start doing back then, I start just serving her. The kids was had grown, or one was senior high school and stuff like that. Well, they was grown. And I start doing the things that she had done for the kids while they was at the house. So I start cooking for her, and that made a difference because now she cooks Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
Uh-huh.
And I would feed her, and I massage them. Her shoulder hurt, I massage it. I run a bath water. I would always tell her I love her every morning and kiss her, because she was kind of like, when we met, she was shy. She did not want to hold my hand in public and hug and stuff like that. I was very, had a lot of passion that I wanted to share, affection. And started gym. It took quite a few years, and now she kisses kiss each other every morning. I open the car door for her. I open the door for her when we were going in business and stuff. And she appreciates that.
Yeah.
And I yield to the lesser vessel. If there is something that's inside of me, I get it out, and then I hear it myself, and I go back and apologize to her. No matter, I don't let it wait. If I say something to her that morning that offends her, and God or He give me the insight of how it affected her, I would get up and go down to her job, and I would apologize to her.
Mm. Listen, what you're doing here, Roosevelt, is you're taking 43 years of knowledge and experience, and you're living it out. See, there's a couple things that can happen in our marriage, and I think you're an example. You can either get sour because it's not working, and every year is just an add to the sourness of your marriage until eventually you just die. Or you say, you know, this ain't working so well. Things aren't what I should be doing here. And you intentionally, Roosevelt, said, hey, I'm going to start drawing a bath for her. I'm going to start cooking. I'm going to start loving her in very practical ways, very hand-oriented. You're kind of a hands guy, get it done kind of a guy. And she responded to that. That's made a difference. Here's the key when you think about being on the brink with your marriage. Now, you may have some really serious issues that need to be confronted, and I understand that. But if your issues are basically we've just grown apart, we're not on the same page, we're not communicating any longer, you have to take those very first steps to back away from the brink. And Roosevelt's an example, and many of the calls we've had today are reminding us that, but just by doing the next right one thing. Can I challenge you for the next 30 days and say, for this month, I'm going to intentionally make it one thing, one love habit I'm going to really put into my marriage. Just one thing. What would it be? I've seen over 30,000 people stand at our conferences, and those are just the ones who have stood and have made a one thing commitment for their marriage for 30 days. I'm challenging you by the thousands, but you personally, wherever you are in the country or wherever you're listening around the world, to say, here's one thing that I'm going to commit to for my marriage for the next 30 days. And it may be as simple as saying, hey, I'm going to start cooking every night, or I'm going to start giving my spouse a hug every day, or I'm going to speak a word of encouragement, or I'm not going to criticize them, or we're going to sit down and talk about the money. I'm not going to just make the decisions myself any longer. Whatever that one thing is that you know will push that button, not the button to create more problems, but the button that'll create more intimacy in your marriage. And you start pushing that more often every day for the next 30 days. And then you tell me at the end of this month how your marriage is different. I'd love to hear it. All right, those are our thoughts from Intentional Living. We'd love to hear yours as well. If you missed any part of the program, it's available online to you on demand. I'm Randy Carlson. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.